Okay, does that feel like you? So much stuff in life we're trying to carry with us, and here's the thing, you can't take it with you. You can try your hardest, but you can't take it with you. Well, we're going through the Advent season at the moment, and this year we're focusing the sermons around those candles, and one looks like it's about to burn out over there, doesn't it? That's okay. Hopefully it doesn't catch on fire. But so we're going through these candles, and as we said last week, this is a tradition the church started. There's nothing in the Bible that says you've got to have Advent candles. And it's a tradition the church started, not our church, the church started centuries and centuries ago. But I think there's something really helpful in it. It captures these four really helpful things about the Christmas season, that the coming of Jesus is hope, is love, is joy, is peace. And it's a really beautiful time as well. Now, some of you may or may not have noticed, I've done the candles out of order this year just because it tied in with communion last week. And so we're a bit out of order. Can you handle that? Oh, candles out of order. Everyone loves change. And today, we're looking at this theme of joy. Everyone loves change, Mark. I mean, you change anything. People love it. Myself included. So today, we're looking at this theme of joy. Joy. This idea that we can be full of a sense of really positive sense of the future ahead, of what's happening now for us. Joy. And I guess the question I want to ask us today is, where are you trying to find it? Where are you trying to find it? Where do you think our culture is trying to find it? Your next door neighbour. But where are you trying to find your joy? When Jesus was born, there were some announcements and some things happened, and we know some of the stories. In Matthew 2:10-11, when they saw the star, this is the, we talked about, he's gone out to the kids, hasn't he, Mr. Chips? He's got his star under his chair. When they saw the star, they rejoiced, another word leading to joy, exceedingly with great what? Joy. Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. This child somehow brought them great joy. We go to Luke and we see the announcement of the angels. But the angels said to him, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great what? Joy. That will be for a few people, special people, or for all people, even people 2,000 years later in Swansea. Good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord." There was something about when Jesus was born that the wise men, the angels, that it was great joy. Something was happening that was going to cause people to be joyful. Well, it was supposed to cause us to be joyful. Joy in who Jesus is, joy in what Jesus has done, joy in what that means for now and for our future. The problem is around the Christmas season, we try and find joy in a whole lot of other areas. And one of the areas is certainly around our stuff, isn't it? I mean, there's, go to the shops, you can go and look at all the things, how much people spend, and people just, it's crazy what people spend, and just getting more and more stuff at Christmas to try and fill their life with joy. The writer Ecclesiastes says this: "Better one handful with tranquility or peace than two handfuls with toil." Interesting little saying, isn't it? Better just one that I need than lots with toil and stress and everything else, right? The writer of Proverbs says this: "Give me neither poverty nor riches." And he says that I don't want to be so poor that I feel like I'm tempted to steal, but I don't want to be so rich that I forget that I need God. Where will I find my joy? Is it going to be in the stuff, or is it going to be in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us? Well, this is nothing new. Jesus told plenty of stories about where people would find meaning in life, where they'd find joy. We read before the story of the rich fool. I guess if we told it a bit more in our time, it might go a bit like this. There was a guy who was a really smart businessman, and he was a go-getter, and he worked hard all the time, and he poured his life. He was going to climb to the very top. He was very driven, very successful at what he did, and he poured his energy into this businessman. He was going to get to the top. Sometimes his wife and his kids would complain. They never get to see him. He was just at work 15 hours a day. And even when he came home, his son would ask, "You know, why are you bringing work home, Dad?" He said, I can't get it all done at the office. And he just work, building his empire. And he thought he was doing really well. Well, one day the CEO of the company came to him and said, wow, one of our products, it's about to go crazy. Everyone loves it. It's going to be amazing. And if we can ride this wave, we're going to be set for life. But the problem is we need to pull down all the current structures and build new ones. And we need to get rid of all the old systems and build these new systems. And if we can do that and build this big new system, we're going to ride this wave all the way to the top. And then we're going to be set and we can relax and off we go. It's going to be great. Well, from that moment on, this man was just like nothing was focused except that job. He thought, well, here we go. I mean, I can build this big empire and then I can relax. And he just poured even more energy into his work and off he went. And he's just every day, non-stop, day and night. His family never sees him. And then one day he felt a little twinge in his chest. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, listen, you've got all the signs of a heart attack. And for about 2 weeks he slowed down and he spent a bit of time with his family and he even went to church a couple of times. But after a couple of weeks he'll straight back into it because he's going to climb this big mountain. He's going to build this big empire, and then he can rest. Well, one day, God visited him at night, and he said, your life's going to be demanded of you tonight. Well, the man died, and at his funeral, everyone was saying all these great things about him. He was a networker. He knew everyone in the business world. He knew all the important people in town. He was a smart guy. He made lots of money for his family, and everyone talked about what just a successful businessman he was, and how he was just a go-getter and he got everything done. And they all went home. And then Jesus came to his graveside and wrote on his grave, fool. Fool. That's a harsh word, isn't it? That's the word Jesus used of the rich man. Now, in the Bible, in the story we read, obviously in that farming era, they relate to farming. And he built his big barns and he thought, well, I've got so much food here, I'm not going to give it away. What I'm going to do is I'm going to build bigger barns and then I'm going to have all my stuff and I can sit back and live it up and not worry about anyone else. I'll be right. And Jesus came and said, you fool, tonight your life is going to be demanded of you. You fool. Well, where do we find our joy? So much stuff around us that we're trying to fill our lives with. This is what it says in the middle of that chapter 12 there. Jesus said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. This is for us, it's for me. Watch out, Matt. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his or hers. Your life is not about your stuff. Your joy is not actually found in your stuff. Your life is too valuable. Your life has got a bigger purpose than collecting lots of stuff. You don't need lots and lots and lots to find your joy. Better one handful with peace or tranquility than two handfuls with toil. The problem is our culture and our very human nature screams the opposite, right? I mean, if $1 is good, well, $2 are better. I mean, two is better than one, isn't it? If one car is good, two cars are better. If a three-bedroom house is good, well, a four-bedroom house is better. If one child is good, well, five is just enough. Right? I mean, this is... Now, I think like this. You think like this too, don't you? This is what we need, and this is going to bring me more joy if I've got this. I've got this much, but if I had that much, well, that's going to be better, right? Our culture, even our human nature screams like this. And we can go all the way back to Genesis to see that that's always been the story. The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, perfect, everything's perfect. No one's getting sick, we're not talking about cancers and operation. No one's sick, everything's perfect. God's there in the garden and they've got everything they need. God says, just this one tree. Don't have that one. Satan comes along and what does he say? Did God really say? I know you've got all this, but this will be better. I mean, this is good, but this is better. So right back in the Garden of Eden, it's always been the story that one's not enough. Two's better. Three's better. Four's... You've got to have more stuff to find your joy. And Jesus says, no, your life, your purpose in life, your joy in life is not found in your stuff. Well, the Bible talks a lot about this. We know. We go to 1 Timothy. Teach those who are rich in this world. Hands up if you drove a car to church this morning or came with someone in a car. In the top 9% of people in the world. All right? You drove a car to church. And who skipped a meal last week because they couldn't afford it? Now, maybe someone did, but they're going to be embarrassed for you. But not most of us, right? When we needed a meal, who had a meal when you needed one? Right? In the top 30% of the world, if you had a meal when you needed one. Now, really, this is to me, and this is to you. Teach us in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Enjoyment. Does God want us not to have any enjoyment? No. It says God's going to give us what we need for our enjoyment, right? Tell them to use their money to do what? Good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. So here, real life, where you're going to really find your enjoyment is going to be if you're generous. Amen? So we've got to listen to Timothy, because whether you believe it or not, I know some still might struggle to pay a bill here or there. We do at times. Reality is, we are the rich in the world in Swansea, okay? We have been told to be, Jesus said, be on your guard. And now Timothy says, teach us, don't put our trust in money and stuff. Well, right now, maybe you're feeling a bit guilty because you're like me. As I was preparing this sermon, I got home after I was preparing it on Wednesday and looked under our Christmas tree. And there's already a lot of stuff there, right? Anyone else got presents under the tree already? I'm not trying to shame us into not buying anything. Some of you, we've already had the Black Friday sales, and some of you are going, oh, Matt, you don't know what I got these sales and I've gone crazy already. This is not about trying to guilt you into things and make you feel horrible. It's awakening us to the reality that people are searching for their joy in life in stuff. And we always think two is better than one. If I've got three, if I can have four, that's going to be better. Where do you find your joy? There's so much excess around Christmas, and we need to show a different way, a way of generosity. All right, let's get really practical for a moment. Here's a couple of things, and I stole these three practical things from Craig Groeschel, Pastor Craig Groeschel. But he says this. He says, one thing I want you to do is to throw out. Now, maybe better than throwing out is giving away. And here's the challenge, and I'm thinking about it even this Christmas if I get some things. Whenever you get something new, give something away. If you get a new surfboard this Christmas, get the old one and don't go, well, now I can have two and I'll have a spare because I might need it. Give the old one away, right? You get some new clothes, give some other clothes away. If you get something, throw something out or give it away, right? Very practical thing, but it's just trying to say we don't need to keep building and building and building. And some very lucky people in our church have made money off storage sheds. Good luck to them. Well done to those families in our church. Who've done that, and they've done that because people have got lots of stuff, don't they, Mark? All right? Storage didn't exist about 50 years ago, but it does now, and well done to those that have run a honest, successful business for it, but you don't need just collecting more stuff, right? So every time you get something new, here's your challenge, something's got to go, all right? You got it? So this Christmas, you're going to get some presents, most of you. So the challenge is when you get a present, something's got to go. So you've got to give something away when you get that. That's the first one. Actually, and Craig Groeschel, who travels all around the world preaching and teaching, he showed to his church his wardrobe of just simple, this is what all I need. I've got everything I need. And you would think a guy that travels around the world would have 50 of everything, but he doesn't. And he just showed this simple picture. Look, this is all I need. If I get a new jacket, because I need a new jacket, I get rid of one, give it away. So that's the first challenge. We're not going to find our joy in stuff. So every time we get something new, we're going to say, well, I don't need this one now. Who wants it? Who can have it? Second thing we're going to do is we're going to buy less. I read a survey last week that 62% of people go shopping to feel better. That when they're feeling down, more than half of people, when they're not feeling great, they go shopping. Now, I hate shopping, so I feel worse when I go shopping. But funnily enough, after 17 years with Woolies, I don't mind going to the supermarket. I'll go there every day and look around there. But any other shopping drive me crazy. Won't go. But seriously, we've got to think about, do we just buy stuff for the sake of buying it? We need to buy less. 62% of people going shopping to feel better. A little bit sad, isn't it? Where are they finding their joy? And then the final one, which may be the most important, let's just be more generous. Come on, let's just really be sacrificially generous, knowing that God will give us joy in giving us what we need. I was watching an interview on the internet this week that someone put on of Bill Gates. And obviously, still one of the richest. I think he's been knocked down a peg or two, not number one in the world now. I think the Amazon guy's got that now, number one. But still one of the richest guys in the world. But years ago, nearly 20 years ago, he was traveling before he was rich and famous. And actually, the start of this is important too. A guy in the audience asked him this question: is anyone richer than you? Okay, so this is to Bill Gates. Is anyone richer than you, Bill Gates? And Bill Gates tells this story. He's traveling nearly 20 years ago. He gets off at the airport. He's not famous at this time. And he picks up a newspaper and he goes to the little newspaper stand to buy it and then realizes he's got no money, right? And he goes, oh, I can't take it, sorry. And the newspaper guy says, oh, you can just have it, mate. Just take it. It's a gift. It's like, oh, okay, wow. That's very generous, you know, and off he goes. 3 months later, he's in the same airport and the exact same thing happens. He goes up, grabs the newspaper to the same newspaper guy and puts it on the counter and then goes, oh, I got no money. And again, the guy says, oh, you can take it for free. And he goes, no, I can't. You did it last time. I can't do it. He says, listen, I haven't got much, but I can afford this newspaper. Right, off you go. Take this newspaper. Okay. Well, 19 years later, Bill Gates is a bazillionaire and he remembers this guy. And so it takes him nearly 2 months. He tracks down the guy. Tracks down this newspaper guy from 19 years earlier. And he goes to his house. And he goes to his house and he says, do you know who I am? And he goes, yeah, you're Bill Gates. And he says, do you remember me? He says, yeah. He says, yeah, you gave me a newspaper for free. And the guy says, well, actually, I gave you two newspapers for free. And so Bill Gates says, look, you know, I'm rich now. Whatever your biggest problem in life, I'm going to solve it. You tell me. Whatever it is, you tell me, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to fix it. And the guy says, not being nasty, but he says, sir, do you think your gift will be able to match mine? Interesting. Bill Gates says, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, I gave out of my poverty. You're giving out of your riches. And Bill Gates says, this guy is richer than him because he was generous when he was poor, whereas he was generous when he was rich. We've got to have a generous heart, people. I know how much you think you've got, whether you think you're rich or poor. We've got to have a generous heart. Now, Bill Gates talks a bit about faith. I don't know if he's a Christian. His wife's a Christian, actually. She wrote an article for Christianity Today magazine that I wrote as well. He's given away, actually, more than anyone in history. He's given $100 billion away to charity and things. So I'm not holding him up on a pedestal. I'm just saying that he recognized that this poor newspaper stand guy was richer than him because he was generous when he didn't have much. And Bill Gates, even though he's got bazillions, said he's richer than me. So three practical things that we're not going to find our joy in stuff. So we're going to throw out or give stuff away every time we get something new. We're not going to collect and collect and collect and collect and collect. We're going to buy less. We're not going to go shopping just for the sake of it. And we're actually going to be more generous. Really practical. Remember, this is what Jesus said. Watch out, be on your guard. Our life is not about the abundance of our stuff. You're not going to find joy there. Real joy was in the angel's announcement. Real joy is found in Jesus Christ, who says, I'll give you what you need. Amen? Real joy is in Jesus, who says, I'm going to be with you in the good times and the difficult times. Real joy is in Jesus, who says, no matter what happens, even death, I'm going to carry you into eternity. That's a reason for joy, isn't it? Real joy is found in a relationship with God. Real joy is living the way you're supposed to live in relationship with the living God. And so if you're not feeling joyful, the real question is not your circumstances. You know those are maps and it says you are here? People are going searching for joy. And Jesus says it's here. Right in the middle of your circumstances. It doesn't matter whether things are going great, whether things are going difficult. Jesus says, you're here. Joy is actually right here with me. This is what Jesus says when he's talking about intimacy with Jesus. He says, I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So that's the first bit. Jesus says, you remain in a loving relationship with Jesus. the more you connect with Jesus, the more you're obedient to Jesus. And this is the result. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Real joy is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're not feeling joyful, instead of going shopping, I suggest you spend some time with Jesus and find out how much he loves you and cares for you, and find out that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He cares about you more than you know. So we've got to be on guard, because we're the rich of the world. We've got to be careful we're not trying to find our joy in stuff. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy stuff. Doesn't mean you can't get a new surfboard and go out there in God's beautiful creation on Christmas Day with a new surfboard and enjoy it, right? But it does mean when you get a new surfboard, you're not going to just collect two surfboards. Amen? You're going to find someone to have the other one. And it doesn't mean you're just going to go shopping for the sake of it. And it does mean we're going to be generous. We're going to start going, hang on a minute, I've got to give more. I've got to have a generous heart. It's going to cost me some stuff that I think I need, but it's not what I really need. I just love that. Let's finish with that Ecclesiastes verse. I just like it. Despite everything we think, if one's good, two is better all the time. Ecclesiastes says, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. Amen? Let's be joyful this Christmas over Jesus and not over our stuff. Let's pray as the band gets ready. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we rejoice with the angels who said, we bring you news of great joy. And we thank you that that joy wasn't, we bring you news of great joy. Here's lots of stuff to fill your house with. It was his news of great joy. We give you Jesus. We give you your Savior. We give you one who's going to love you, forgive you, who's going to help you through your life to know the meaning of life and to live a life of purpose. The one who's going to be beside you when times are tough. The one who's always loving his church. Anyone who's claimed the name of Jesus. Always working for the good of his church. Lord, help us to find joy in Jesus this Christmas. And when we're feeling that we don't have joy, help us to go and spend more time with you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be a generous-hearted people where we're not just collecting out lots of stuff. Instead, we're wanting to bless others. Help us to, even as a non-Christian Bill Gates recognized, someone was rich because of their generous heart. May our love for God overflow with generosity. May our love for God overflow with generosity to people, we pray, instead of collecting lots of stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.